This is The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by Namdeb, mining for good.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our spotlight this evening, I'm joined by Arendse Okafor, the CEO of the Namibia Investment and Finance Academy. Welcome.
Good evening, Angie. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. No, thank you, Angie, and good evening once again also to your listeners. So I'm quite excited to be here and also humbled by the opportunity. So I'm Arendse Okafor, and I see myself as a simple, but also a humble and confident young man representing upper youth. So one thing maybe the viewers don't know about me is that I actually went to primary school in Emawuchenhout. And if you look at the type of leaders, and I'm going to brag now about Emawuchenhout, because I know some of the other generation talk about, you know, the others. But I went to Emawuchenhout. I was also at Delta. And one thing about me is that I've always loved people.
Yeah.
I like also helping and creating impact. So all throughout my journey, even from primary school, I've always found that sort of attachment to people. I'm a family man. I've got a wife and two kids.
Okay.
Yeah, they keep me grounded.
Yeah.
And make sure that I don't go astray.
Are they at Emma?
My kids.
Yeah, are they at
no,
Emma?
No, so my son now is 2 years, 4 months. He's at Cosmo Kids.
Okay.
And then my daughter's at DHPS.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not Emma so, Wuchenhout.
Not Emma Wuchenhout.
Oh,
not,
okay.
Probably not yet, but let's see.
Okay.
Let's see how things go.
All right.
Yes.
What personal experiences shaped your passion for financial education and capacity building?
No, great question. So I think when I left high school, I'd always wanted to do like economics. Mm. So my first degree was in economics. But then like in the second or third year, you know, I started to watch these investment movies. You know, Boiler Room, things about the financial crisis. Mm. Then I said, no, man, this is quite interesting. So once I finished economics, I went on to do a master's in investment and finance. I got the opportunity to study in the University of London. And I think that's really what then opened my eyes and really unlocked like my passion, particularly like for investments and finance. Then when I came back to Namibia, I had the opportunity to be a graduate or an intern, you know, at the Bank of Namibia. And if I look at where I am now, I fully appreciate and understand the value of being given an opportunity to work for any institution.
Yeah.
Because I think the program was for 18 months. And luckily, I think the leadership at the time saw potential in me and they made me permanent. And as they say, the rest is history.
Yeah.
So since then, and all people who've come under me, I've always taken that deliberate intention to make myself irrelevant, meaning you capacitate that person so well enough that your job is easy.
Yeah.
So if you look at when I introduced myself and said I'm humble, I'm actually very happy if who I'm leading is much smarter than me, because for me, my job then becomes very easy.
Yeah.
So I always took after some of the interns when they joined the Bank of Namibia at the time.
Yeah.
And that was, sure, I might give my age away now, but anyway, we're upper youth. So all throughout, so I was at Bond 2013 up until like 2019. And then in COVID, when everything came to a lockdown, and this is a funny story, this is what actually led to the founding of NIFA. So for a month, we couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So obviously I was managing also a portfolio. But during the free time, we were watching Money Heist, you know, on Netflix, a famous series. But then I always had this idea that one day I want to start an academy to, you know, bridge that gap between theory and practice. Because I think I was trained by Bon, sent a bit to the World Bank. I got to learn the practice. So I said, okay, instead of just coming up with an idea, that's actually when I put the plan together.
Yeah.
And since 2020 up until now, that's really what I've been investing in my free time, my passion. And I've seen the impact of mentoring or giving a graduate just advice and he ends up picking the right career choice as opposed to the wrong one. And then that has obviously extended, because I'm quite passionate about entrepreneurship. That's also then what I do through the academy. And again, I think impact is tangible. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what has drove my passion for capacity building, because I'm a product of an internship system.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Beyond finance and mentorship, you are also a sports enthusiast. That's what I read. So enjoying activities like cricket, soccer, tennis, and paddle. Tell us about that.
No, thank you, Angie. You're so diligent. So I'm really, my background has been a soccer man. And I know I'm already going to apologize. I think, you know, also went to school with Honorable, and he likes to be called Coach Balotti. So, you know, I was very passionate and reasonably good in soccer. I think, you know, especially the Delta soccer team. I think I had a nickname at the time called Superstar.
Hey.
Because we just used to score, you know, and I'm a Man United fan, but maybe not the best club to be supporting right now, but we are loyal. So I actually come from a soccer background. But, you know, then after COVID, you know, family, no excuses, but yeah, you become a bit slower and the kids now are a bit too fast. So also COVID is when, because soccer was put on lockdown as well, funny enough, the sport codes that were allowed were squash and tennis. So just to stay fit, I started squash and tennis during COVID. And then I got a liking to the sport.
Yeah.
And I've been playing tennis now actively. And then in the last year or two, I was given the opportunity to then become, I'm treasurer of the Namibia Tennis Association. And now I'm actively giving back through sport.
Okay.
So the paddle, because I think paddle really combines, you know, tennis and squash.
Yeah.
So naturally, I like, you know, racket sports. And paddle, you know, for us who are a bit lazy, we stay at the net and we dominate at the net.
Yeah.
You just volley and smash all day. So that's why I started then taking also a keen interest to paddle, because it's not too different from the, some of the hand sports I've played.
Wonderful. Then another thing I also read about you is that you champion the integration of AI into financial education, emphasizing that AI should augment, not replace jobs. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So I think when we look at the power of AI, right? So I think AI really started maybe 2016.
Yeah.
And they say, I think when I was trained in economics, you must give credit to, you know, give credit where it's due. So on the AI part, I must admit, I was taught by a very passionate person who's in AI. I'll give her credit. It's Lalani.
Yes.
So I really got exposed, I think, to AI much more maybe late 2023. And you just start to realize it's as simple as in the past, you want to come up with a presentation. And you know how difficult it is sometimes with a PowerPoint. It can take you 3, 4, 5 days. But now there are apps where you can prompt. And let's say you understand the content. In a matter of seconds, you have a PowerPoint. But the difference is AI, if you are a subject matter expert, AI amplifies your execution ability. And this is what's something I want to stress. If you're an expert, AI cuts the time that you would have spent a whole day to minutes. So it doesn't replace your job. It just amplifies your ability to execute. But the ones who are more fearful of adapting to AI, that's more the risk, because everyone is using it. So it's not AI that's going to replace your job. It's actually your fellow person that has understood the power and the efficiency that AI brings, that sometimes you'll be questioning, how do they do it in terms of output? But make no mistake, AI is not a human. And in my space, especially particularly in the investment space, yeah, AI can help you analyze information, make it simpler.
Yeah.
But that buy or sell decision is a gut feel at the end of the day. How you interpret what Trump might be doing and how that might impact your portfolio, or if there's chaos happening in South Africa. Yes, the data will tell you a certain thing, but how much of a share do I buy? Or or whether I sell, a lot of it is going to come down to your human element and your judgment.
Mm.
So AI is not here to replace. It's just here to enhance your execution abilities.
Yeah. Then what do you believe is the single most important skill future finance leaders in Namibia need?
That's a very tough question. I think the simple answer will always be to say quantitative ability, but I tend to differ. You might not know, Angie, that engineers actually have been proven to be one of the smartest investment managers or portfolio managers. And why is that? Part of that skill is the analytical ability, right? But I think, and from my personal experience, is having an open mind. Because in investments, you know, there's a thing of FOMO, and we know it in our common circles of fear of missing out. So you see, sometimes that behavioral psychology, it overrides logic. So that's why I say having an open mind, because sometimes information might be portrayed a certain way, and you just think, if you're close-minded, for instance, you think this is the only option you have. But a lot of the successful asset management companies or investors, it's really about how you interpret the information.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there might be bad news, right? But that bad news is only affecting the sector.
Mm.
So I want to give it a practical example to hear and why I love future media. I'll put my conflict of interest out there.
Yeah.
But let's say the entertainment industry is going through, you know, a knock.
Yeah.
But you as future media, it's your track record that's speaking for yourself.
Mm.
You're not going to be too affected. The sector, yes. Should I now sell all of my entertainment shares? No. You're going to sell the ones that maybe the company is not right or for whatever reason. So the point I'm making is that having an open mind and how you interpret the information, it actually is what makes the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Just a last question. A final question. What advice would you give to young Namibians aspiring to careers in finance and investment?
And if I can answer and enhance on that question as well, I think firstly, specifically for finance and investments, you have to love reading. You have to get a kick out of financial news. Bloomberg, I mean, especially during my time at the central bank and even now in asset management, I think Bloomberg's the channel that I go to sleep with.
Mm.
So you already have to have a love for news, a love for research, also a love for politics, because it affects, you know, the outcome of investment and finance decisions. But to bring it more practical to now be in a career, you also have to be intentional to identify role models that you think you want to ascribe to who are in that space. I've really noticed recently some people reach out directly on LinkedIn. And I know sometimes people don't always get a response, but there's a gentleman who wrote an article and he said this as well. As professionals, we were also guided in the past. So when someone reaches out to you on LinkedIn, give them the time of day to respond, have a coffee. And I think for the advice for the young ones is have the right attitude.
Mm.
You know, they say you can fire for attitude, hire for skill. If your attitude is right, people will be willing to help. And I know the youth, as youth people, we are rightfully so, we want more, but there is a line between wanting more and being entitled.
Yeah.
Right? You see, life is hard. Life doesn't owe you anything. But if you have a positive outlook and your attitude is right, people will want to mentor you. People will want to coach you. So that, I think, is the most important skill. Because finance, you know, is a technical skill, right? And to make it, you also have to be taught and be teachable. But what I wanted to expand on is to say, youth should think both sides. You want to have a career, investment and finance, but also think, how can you be entrepreneurial? Because sometimes it's not that you're going to have a 30-year career in the corporate sector. Also think within your skill. If you're in accounting, Maybe you can set up a small business. Use your intellect to also add additional income for yourself. Advisory, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arendse, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Angie.
Thank you.
That was The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by NAMDIB, Mining for Good.